from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
The one thing Josh Allen could do from the very get-go, and his decisions weren't very good, but he put the ball wherever he wanted in the pocket, and he got it out pretty quick. He just was a bad decision guy, and over time, he's in this last game that he had, too, he kind of went backwards a little bit in that respect. But I think that's what I was getting at. Josh Allen in the pocket is good from the get-go. I mean, he could put the ball where he wanted. It just where he put it sometimes wasn't very smart. You know, that was his knock, but what I saw from the difference is, you know, with Fields is in the pocket, there's a panic to him, you know, because things are just going so fast. And, you know, the team around him on offense, you know, is probably, you know, this is not saying anything that you guys don't already realize, probably mediocre. You know, as they get better around him, it's going to really affect him as well. And it's pretty exciting because that's the centerpiece. And if he can continue to grow and not get injured, right, then they've got something to build on.
That's Mike Martz in either his second or third appearance with Parkins and Spiegel, and he's kind of soft-pedaling because by then Fields had looked really exciting and had shown a bunch of flashes that were exciting. But you heard him there in the middle when he kind of alludes to it, what he saw with Fields, like, in the pocket. There's some panic to him. And it's too bad, but there is, and there was. And maybe with a really good team, maybe with a really good supporting cast, he will find his way to being a real good pocket passer. But it didn't happen here, and time has run out. It is Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel here with you. We're doing a bunch of bump and run all mixed in together because the Justin Fields news is massive, taking your phone calls. I do want to get to Michael Kopech in the bullpen before we get out of this segment. And Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring will join us around 11:20. 11:45, Mark Grote will be here for a live transition. We will do a live transition right here. And then Grotes has you from noon until 2:55 when the Cubs play right here on 670 The Score. This is Bernie, who is ready for hit and bump and hit and bump and run. Hello, Bernie. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
Good morning. So I was just looking at some statistics around consensus number one picks. And if you look at the last 40 years, Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck, both Mannings, and John Elway are over the last 40 years. And Jameis Winston, you could argue, is not quite that guy, but those are your consensus number ones, and I would argue that they would be the best quarterback ever in the history of the Bears if we had a number of those guys.
Did you mention Joe Burrow? Did you mention Joe Burrow? We could add him.
Well, here's the thing. So if you look at number one picks, just number one picks, the number one pick has thrown 70% of number one picks have thrown for 4,000 yards, 45% 30-plus over the last 30 years, 81% had 80-plus starts, 65% have a playoff win, and 70% made the Pro Bowl. Now, arbitrary, arguably, but Justin Fields doesn't check any of those boxes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, no, and Fields is a 9 or 11 overall, but So let me go ahead and remove that, because frankly, the Justin versus Caleb thing was overblown according to what the Bears' decision process actually was. A lot of people writing that today, and proof is kind of in the pudding on some of that, as Ryan Poles admits that they've been in trade talks for a couple of weeks here. But just your stuff on the number one overall picks as quarterbacks is compelling, isn't it? A lot of success there, that's for sure. And I can't overstate this enough. Expectations for the Bears and Caleb Williams should be very, very high because of the good fortune that he has to be dropped into a team with a solid offensive line, DeAndre Swift as a lead running back, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett as your top four targets, and a really good defense. Expectations should be high. 10 wins. Tell you right now, this team should have 10 wins. If they're not a playoff team by the hair of their chinny chin chin, but they still have 10 wins and everything's moving forward, I think most people will still feel great. But expectations should be high. You saw what the Texans just did. That's what's going to be expected. And if it is Caleb, it's going to be really interesting, because we'll have time to talk about what he should do and how he should play as a rookie, because he does not need to be a hero as a rookie. That's for sure. Anthony's in Chicago on 670 The Score. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, Speaks. How are you?
I'm great, man.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
You too. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of our Jewish friends out there.
Absolutely. So listen, in thinking about the Justin Fields trade, I'm less thinking about the Chase Claypool trade as well. Now, I understand the Bears needing to move on from him. It's just kind of sad to think that the Bears settled for so little and the league thinks so little of Justin that's all the compensation that we got.
Yeah, that sucks, right? Doesn't that suck for as fond as we became of Justin Fields, to have the league and the compensation be what it is? It feels gross, man. It feels gross and sad on a human level, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wish him all the best. I thank you guys for taking my call. It's going to be tough going forward, but at the end of the day, it is a business, and we got to accept some hard decisions.
Yeah, Anthony. And you know what? When you start to get a look at this team and you see Caleb, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. If he has what it appears that he has, which is, man, a presence of mind, an incredible arm, outrageously good arm talent, a quick release, the fact that he looks downfield to pass as he scrambles every single time. He'll use his legs, but he's always looking to use his legs to create. And he can make quick, accurate throws on the run from any body position or platform, the way that you've seen Aaron Rodgers do it. That's his guy. That's his model. That's who he models his game after. The way that you've seen Pat Mahomes obviously do it. The way that you have seen Justin struggle to do it. And if you're honest in your heart of hearts, when you see Justin scramble, it takes an extra little bit of time before he gears up and throws. And sometimes it's too late. And sometimes he just chooses to run. Caleb appears to be a guy who makes the throw quickly and decisively.
Who do you model your game after?
Aaron Rodgers, I would say, is number one.
So Aaron Rodgers, who he models the game after, and he breaks down all sorts of mechanics. Dude is smart about quarterbacking. I'm excited to watch him. Ron is on the south side. It wouldn't be hit and run. Wouldn't be a Sunday morning unless I talked to Ron. Hello, sir.
And likewise, the feeling is mutual, Speak. So a couple of things. You know, trying to find something to be optimistic about with this White Sox team, particularly to Colson Montgomery. But you mentioned pitchers. I just want to mention three. And speaking of the trade, the real trade.
Yes.
I thought it was I think the Sox did, you know, pretty good with the trade. I'm looking forward to seeing Thorpe in the rotation. But mainly who I'm looking to see that I've been kind of fine, I know it's only spring training, is Garrett Crochet. And again, looking at these players' speed, because basically we got to look towards the future with the White Sox. But another person is Jordan Leisure. Maybe back of the bullpen type of guy, but I'm looking forward to seeing him. And it's one last thing, Speed, I want to ask you. Anything on Byron Ramos, the third base? Have you heard anything relative to just the his prospects and how's he looking? Again, I'm just trying to look forward to the future, but the most important thing then is hit and run is back, and baseball will be back real soon. Always a pleasure, Speed.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate you. Baseball is life. Brian Ramos is a big-time prospect, and I suspect is going to get some run at some point this year. I'm looking forward to seeing Ramos for sure. I love that Ron is looking for silver linings of happiness on a White Sox team that he will pay attention to, because that's the reality here as an entertainment product. You know, you got to find your guys. Garrett Crochet has a big time front of the rotation arm and arsenal. Whether he stays healthy or not, I have no idea. He has struggled to stay healthy as a starter. He hasn't really started. I think it's like 5 years since he really started much of consequence. I've got some of these numbers and facts and figures and elsewhere. But yeah, it's been a while for Garrett Crochet. But that is a serious, serious arm if he can stay healthy as a starter. I think the guy that you're sleeping on is Eric Fetty, who's a really good story. And Eric Fetty, we'll have chances to talk about him as opening day approaches and we get in the midst. But think Miles Michaelis for the Cardinals, who could not make it in MLB, went to a foreign land and a foreign league. I think it was the Korean League as well, wasn't it? And Michaelis redid his arsenal, figured some stuff out. Fetty has completely redone his arsenal. And I would buy on Eric Fetty right now with the help of Brian Bannister, who he has worked with an awful lot. Bannister, part of the White Sox pitching brain trust. In fact, Eric Fetty worked at the same offseason place with Bannister as Logan Webb of the San Francisco Giants and learned some of the pitches and styles of Logan Webb, right? That's a pretty good one to try to be comping yourself to in terms of development. Drew Thorpe is the most important piece of that trade for Dylan Cease to me. Former Yankees farmhand, who they sent to San Diego in the Juan Soto trade, and now Thorpe comes back to the White Sox. You'll see Drew Thorpe in the majors this year. People freak out because his fastball only hits 94, 93 maybe, but his changeup is double plus. Like when you watch Jordan Wicks and you're like, how is that guy so good? Because the changeup freaks people out. Drew Thorpe's changeup is, I saw Aaron Layton write about it as a get-out-of-jail-free card. Like crazy. 32% swing and miss rate on Drew Thorpe's changeup. Just outrageous. So, you know, that guy you're going to see a lot of. And then there's, and the move of Kopech to the bullpen is long overdue. Michael Kopech, listen to him talking about moving to the bullpen. This is Kopech, and you can tell he's upset. Because, of course, he's wanted to be a starter his whole life. Big-time prospect from Boston, et cetera. But he accepts the role.
You're going to go to the bullpen? How did you respond to that and how do you feel about it?
It's not my first choice where I want to be. I like starting, but I've had success in that role. Ultimately, we're looking at what's best for the team this year. And if I can help us win games in the back half of the game, I'm excited to do that.
How much of a disappointment is it for you? Because you wanted to obviously start.
I'm disappointed. I think that I've had success there, but it's been a little too inconsistent. And you know, I wanted an opportunity to find some consistency there. That being said, you know, there's a window, and I didn't really achieve it in that window. So now I have an opportunity to find success and help the team in another way.
It's Michael Kopech, who couldn't cut it as a starter, just not consistent enough, not I don't know, psychologically comfortable enough. As a starter, the arm is not the issue. The stuff is not the issue. There have been so many times you were like, oh my God, look at that. He figured it out. And then it slides back. Put the man in the bullpen. Just let him fire away. Fire away with all you got. And I think he's got absolute closer potential. I'll be surprised if he's not the closer on this team, frankly. Spring training action for the Cubs continues today against the Rangers. Coverage begins at 2:55 right here on 670 The Score with Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer on the call. For the latest news on the Cubs or Sox, try listening to chapters from our show through the Odyssey app. Just search for 670 The Score. Tap on a recent episode of our show, and you can get started. By the way, tune in tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. for BetQL's Countdown to Tip-Off as Nick Costos and Ken Barkley break down the brackets immediately after they're released. Who will be their best bets to cut down the nets? It's Countdown to Tip-Off from BetQL tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Mark Grody in about 30 minutes. But before that, my guy Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring with all sorts of stuff to talk about. And you'll hear a good, clean Kopech inning to start. It's Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run and Bump and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
He's looking at a 3-2 count. Let's see what Kopech has here for his first batter. Fastball driven out to center field. Well, Maurice Robert Jr. tracks it down for the first out.
Michael has the stuff to do that. The question is, does he have the command to do that?
Broken bat, backhanded at short. DeJong makes the play.
That if you go out and lose today, you come right back tomorrow and say you're not going to get me this afternoon.
Robert Jr. makes the catch in center. A 1-2-3 inning for Michael Kopech in his first appearance as being a reliever.
That highlight courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. John Schriff and Steve Stone on the call. Michael Kopech goes 1-2-3 in his first inning as reliever. One day, a long time ago, many, many moons ago, Michael Kopech was a hot young Red Sox prospect. Highly thought of, but a little bit volatile, kind of crazy in the minor leagues, had long hair, had a social media presence with a girlfriend that was interesting. And then there he was, the centerpiece to the Chris Sale trade. And it's been our problem ever since. Rob Bradford from WEEI and from Baseball Isn't Boring remembers that well, among many things. He joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Bradfo, good morning. Thank you for joining me. How are you, sir?
Oh, my goodness. Is there a better way to start the day than to talk to you, Matt, and be on your show? I appreciate it. It's also a great launching pad into the season. We thought the big breakout games, we thought this was going to be the launching pad. No. It's getting a chance to talk to you about the great game of baseball.
Oh, God, love you for that one, Bradford. You know what got me on your feed? It was like, I guess maybe it was 2 weeks ago or something. You were on your way into camp somewhere, and you had to pause because the two guys in front of you started talking pitching. So, you know, let me roll on this, and I'll put it into a podcast on the go. Rich Hill and Pedro Martinez. And I'm like, are you effing kidding me? I wonder, look at Bradford out there killing it. Pedro is, I mean, they're both, those are what, two of the smartest five people you've ever talked to about pitching in your life?
Yeah, and the thing is, and then next thing you know, we ended the, that was about a 10-minute conversation on video, and then they broke off, and Rich is, I have a picture of Rich. How do you grip this? Now, how do you do this, and how do you do this? And let's be honest. I mean, Rich Hill is a smart guy, and for our baseball standards, he's old. But Pedro Martinez is the guy. If I could pick any human being who I wanted to talk to pitching about,
yes,
right now that's living, it's Pedro Martinez.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, man. When he talks, I'm just like, okay, what can I learn? What can I learn? Because we all remember what we saw, which was a guy with incredible stuff, but was able to get people out whenever he needed to. What was the game in Cleveland where he threw like five and two thirds of perfect relief after they didn't think he was going to be able to go? Like, the fastball was 8 miles an hour slower, so he just slowed down the changeup to go along with it, if memory serves.
Oh, it was a great memory by you, and it was just an epic performance because he's using like an 85-mile-an-hour fastball with a bad lat or something, and he's just, all he's doing is breaking off curveballs and changeups and bobbing his, weaving his way through it, and it was just I think the guy who started that was Brett Saberhagen. That's how
wow.
long ago, but yeah, that's and he's still around, and he's still around camp, and it's great having him talk to guys. Even when he says, hey, Ruby De La Rosa is going to be the next Roger Clemens. We just take that with a grain of salt. And there is, and Matt, there is, and I don't know if you've come across this with pitchers, like really, really good pitchers. There is that problem of hey, you know what? If you do it this way, it'll work. Well, Pedro had a different talent. He had a different hand size. He had a different everything.
Yeah.
So maybe not exactly, but still listening to his passion. And the most important thing, he's a genuine human being, which is always what I'm going to lean to.
Yeah, it's just absolutely awesome. Rob Bradford is here with us with Baseball Isn't Boring. Tell me some other moments. I want to ask you about Rich Hill on the internal brace and Lucas Giolito, but like, tell me some other moments of what you've had so far this spring as you've been bouncing around talking to people. Well, actually, while you're thinking of that, I'll give you one. It was
okay.
Joe Kelly. You were sitting at dinner at Joe Kelly's dinner table. And he was talking about Yamamoto on the golf course. Do I have that right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, because I was racking my brain for some of the ones they did. I mean, I did Xander Bogaerts was really good when I went out to Arizona this week. It's just great talking to different people that I didn't have a chance to talk to. I talked to Derek Falvey, the Minnesota Twins president. He's dropping tomorrow.
Mm.
But that was honestly what you mentioned. That was the one that first came to mind. Here's the reason why. Because, you know, we're at Joe Kelly's house, but it's not only Joe. It's Blake Treinen, who is a very introspective, thoughtful guy. And also pitching ninja Rob Freeman came over the house.
Cool.
You know, and then you had the guys from Codify. And so you had all these people talking about, you know, doing models for Yamamoto on the left side of the rubber or the right side of the rubber. Joe's asking, like, how exactly does it work when you put Vaseline on a ball, and, you know, things like that. So, I'm not saying that he's going to do it.
No,
but we were saying that he's going to be staring at the ceiling, looking at YouTube clips for the rest of the night, trying to figure this out. And so it was just great. You know, it's great sitting around and hearing these guys talk about this, and like you said, and the other interesting dynamic about that was that Joe had just, in that same table that we were sitting at, had just broken bread with Yamamoto and Otani. They had come over and they were talking about baseball, and then they went golfing. And so that was all part of the podcast. That was all part of the conversation. It's just, and you know, I appreciate you coming on. Every time you come on, it's awesome. I just like talking to different people, and there's so many people to talk to about so much stuff.
Oh man, that's the stuff, and it's never ending. Like, I was just in Mesa for 4 days, man, and just like the conversations you have with everybody walking around, everybody's just dying to talk baseball. It's part of the spring rejuvenation. You know, I there was a moment there at the table where Joe was talking about Yamamoto, how like his first drive, I think it was, he just absolutely chunked it, hit it like 12 yards off to the left, and he was totally like embarrassed. He's turning purple there, and Joe had to like calm him down. I mean, it's like you think of these $800 million guys or these $400 million guys as like, I don't know, anxiety proof, but that's not how it works.
Yeah, no, and everything about his description of that golf outing was we can relate to. He said you could tell Yamamoto was super nervous. He's a 25-year-old guy with these new people. He's super nervous. He chunks it, you know, like 10 yards the first time out. Then he gets going, and then, you know, then he hits some on the screws. And then like us all, he's going to wear down in the back nine, and as he said, started getting the tugs. You know, so all of a sudden, he's yanking it, and then they started shouting him, hey, your nickname's OB. He didn't know what it was, and obviously that meant out of bounds. And then we're doing the podcast, and he says, and they're like, I don't think that he wanted anyone to know that his nickname's OB. Oh, too bad, too late. We've already said it. So
good.
There you go.
Good. OB. Well, that's sports, man. You got to find a way to rip somebody a little bit and have them yeah, laugh about it, right? Like
exactly.
I don't know that I've ever seen or heard about anybody doing that to Otani. I don't know. I just saw the thing the other day. Apparently in Seoul, he was asked about his wife, and he started to talk about it, and he's never talked about it. So Freddie Freeman like grabbed the headphones and was like, wait a minute, I want to hear the translation of this. I need to hear this. which sounds amazing, right? And Otani like was a little bit embarrassed to be talking about it. But like even he is going to need to get the business from somebody, maybe Mookie. Could Mookie give him the business?
Oh, yeah. And yeah, we want to humanize these guys, right? I mean, this is one of the things where I guess this isn't really humanizing, but when Ohtani gave Joe's wife, Ashley, a Porsche, that was a nice story. And then Joe said, you know, that he's been wearing Ohtani's cleats. And it's not his cleats, like the brand of his cleats. It's his actual cleats because they have the same size. And Joe knows that maybe there's a New Balance deal to be had if he wears Ohtani's cleats around. So he's no dummy. So, but Ohtani leaves his cleats, leaves his gear at Joe's locker, and yeah. So it's that's all we want, right? We just want them to be humanized, and we'll get there with Ohtani, I think.
I hope so. All right, yeah. So Ohtani gave her the Porsche because of the number, right? He took the number from Joe. Essentially.
Yeah. Well, Joe, when it was trending that way, I mean, on the podcast, we said, Joe, okay, if you sign with the Dodgers, he signs with the Dodgers, what are you going to ask for? And he said, either a car or 1/8 of my contractor bill, because he's building a new house. And which is like, so next thing you know, it's boom, you know,
there's the car.
A Porsche is being delivered to his wife. So yeah, good for them.
Rob Bradford is with us. Rob, we came in with the highlight of Michael Kopech. I've been thinking about this a lot because of the Chris Bryant quotes that were in the piece that came out of Colorado. And it was heartbreaking. But my Bryant heart was already kind of broken because I saw him fall out of love with the game in his last couple of years here. It was rough, man. And I've talked to his dad. I like his dad, you know, Mike. But Chris Bryant is a guy who was pushed from a very young age. And like, this is your path. This is your path. This is your path. And I brought that up to somebody in Arizona and they made an old reference. They said, oh, it reminds me of Marvin Todd Marinovich, you know?
Oh, man.
I know, right? But then I start thinking about Kopech's dad. And these are not all the same levels of volatility and whatever as human beings, but Kopech's dad like built him a mound on the side and made him throw all the time. And I remember that hung over. It seemed like it was hanging over Kopech's head a little bit early on. I guess I just want to ask your early impressions of Kopech, who you talked to as a prospect and you talked to on his way up through Boston. Now we're watching him get transitioned to the bullpen in what might be final days with the White Sox here.
Yeah, you know, so as you said, I know Michael for a while now, and I'll just flash forward. The guy that I've talked to in the last couple of years, it was a completely different guy than I remember. And not, he was never a bad guy, but you said it before where, you know, he was dating the reality star. He was constant. I remember in spring training when he was low level minor leaguers, they would do their workout, they would do the whole day, and then at 10 o'clock at night at LA Fitness, he'd be lifting, you know, again, you know, trying to get huge with, you know, his cheerleader girlfriend. And so, you know, wasn't advised. And then you have, you know, PD stuff, and you have the gotten in a fight with a roommate when the Red Sox minor leaguers broke his hand. You had all this stuff, but still, he was always a good guy who was obviously super talented. And also back then, even when he got to the White Sox, it was, how hard can I throw? I'm going to throw 110 miles an hour and look at, here's a video of me doing it. Like I said, the last couple of years talking to him, completely different guy. I think he had been humbled by a lot of it. And I think that last year, the times that I talked to him, and this wasn't any newsflash, he was just so beaten up. Like physically, he was just so, so beaten up. And this is the thing that I kind of am rooting for, is that I think he's figured out a lot of things, not only in terms of pitching and how to pitch, but in life. But now he's dealing with a lot of physical issues. So to go back to your original question, yeah, I mean, anytime you come through what he came through and there was a lot of it, and you come out the other side, you know, I'm going to root for the guy because that's not easy to do. But you know, clearly he's got a little bit of an uphill battle here coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, he does. I think the stuff might play. It reminds me of, you know, so many starters who were effective in the bullpen, even though they dreamed of being starters, like Jeff Samardzija toggled back and forth when he was here. You know, think about that. Or just being able to simplify it. Hell, Eckersley, eventually they said, hey, Eck, just go over there and throw. Just throw as hard as you can. Throw like one or two pitches and just go after people. Like, it can work. And simplifying it might be a healthy thing for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know the elephant in the room whenever this happens is the contracts, right?
Yeah.
Is that is you have these situations where they know starters are usually going to make more money than relievers, although it's changing a little bit, but still, that's why most people really want to be starters. They also like the idea of starters. You're the focus every 5 days. I just came from the Red Sox clubhouse. We just dealt with this kid named Josh Winkowski, mm-hmm. kid who said that Wrigley Field was stock standard. Remember? That's why he's now in Chicago.
Yes.
And yeah, so he was two-fifths of the Red Sox rotation was up for grabs, and he's just been named. He's going to the bullpen. And he said, you don't get these opportunities a whole lot where two-fifths of the rotation's up for grabs. So he's upset about that, but he still says, but I'm still a starter. I'm still a starter. Mm-hmm. I think that's what most of these guys do until they understand that, hey, you know what? It's okay to be a reliever. I'll give you another quick example. The guy that we just talked about, Joe Kelly. I mean, think about that. I mean, Joe was a starter.
Yeah.
A starter, and then all of a sudden, I think I'm pretty sure that he's found his little lot in life right now.
Yeah, I think he has made that work. Last thing for you, Rob, or it's maybe second to last thing. I'll be greedy with my Rob Bradford. how's Chris Sale going to be in Atlanta, you think? Like, is this a coup that the Braves end up with Sale? Some people think so.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's not trending well on the other side of it because Vaughn Grissom isn't going to play till mid to late April because of his groin issue. He hasn't played, obviously, at all in spring training, so that's not a good start.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went up and talked to Sale, one of the things he said that stuck with me was, this is the first time since 2017 that he ended a season healthy, that he's had a full offseason healthy, and he's began a spring training healthy since 2017, which
wow.
is crazy to think about. And from what we've seen so far, yeah, there you go. I mean, that's a lot of optimism. But unfortunately, he's lost the benefit of the doubt. But if you're asking me my gut feeling about this, I think he's going to have a good year for the Braves.
And last one then, it's my favorite player in the game for a long time. I can't wait to watch Mookie Betts at shortstop every day. I don't know how long they're going to do it, but if anybody can do it, it's that guy, isn't it?
Isn't it, you know, I don't know if you know this, Matt, but it probably wasn't a good move letting Mookie Betts play in another team if you're the Red Sox.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
This guy is just such an unbelievable, like, talent and you know, his arm, his athletic ability, you know, you see different him running routes and he plays shortstop is without a care in the world. I mean, is he going to be an elite shortstop? Probably not, but he can play shortstop while you figure it out.
Yeah.
And then the other part about Mookie that I personally like is that he's also figuring out who he is when it comes to his sort of existence on a team as a star, all of that stuff. Because when he first went to the Dodgers, that was a tough one where he stood in the middle of the room and tried to give a speech and he was really, really wasn't a leader or anything. Well, he figured out what he is. He's a good podcaster and a good shortstop. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm trying to, it must be tough being Dave Roberts. I think I'll go Mookie one and then Freeman. Nah, I'll go Otani two and then whatever.
It's another world. It's another world, my friend.
It is, right? Across the field from the White Sox. That's not fair, man. It's just not fair.
I honestly did that. You know, I did that's one of the things I love about Arizona is you just go from one club to the other.
Yeah.
But there is no better drastic juxtaposition than at Camelback Ranch. I can tell you that.
Oh my God. Rob, you're the best, man. Keep killing it all spring and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks so much, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. That's Rob Bradford from WEI and Baseball is Boring. Baseball is Not Boring. Dude is plugged in. How about those moments, man? Hanging in a field with Rich Hill and Pedro while they talk pitching, sitting at the table with Pitching Ninja and Joe Kelly and Blake Trinan talking about Yamamoto on the golf course. It's what you dream of.
I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, exactly. How did we get here? Folks, Caleb Williams is almost assuredly a Bear. Justin Fields is gone. Mark Grody is here. We will transition with Mark Grody, and he's got you for the next 3 hours right here on 670 The Score.
You switch the samples.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
How are you feeling?
Pretty good. We've made a lot of progress. It was kind of scary. I had a stiff back, like waking up that morning, and I just went through my normal pregame routine. Long toss, was feeling great in the bullpen. and then just on one pitch, felt something kind of tweak in there. And to anyone that's had low back stuff, it really sucked for about 2 or 3 days. And now we're back to long tossing and hopefully get off the mound here in the next couple of days and stuff. So I think we avoided anything like super serious, but obviously just crappy that it happened at that time. And, you know, as a starter, you got to build up in spring training and stuff. So that put a little pause on that, but definitely feeling a lot better now.
That's Jameson Taillon of the Cubs feeling a lot better. That's good to hear. Jameson Taillon probably won't start the season in the rotation, but maybe not far behind. This is Matt Spiegel with you on Hit and Run and Bump and Run. It's been all things all morning and has been great, great fun. Thanks to all the callers and all the texters. I'd like to apologize to the hardcore baseball fans who had too much football, and I'd like to apologize to the hardcore football fans who had too much baseball. Good luck, everybody. Mark Grody will have no such dilemma. You can do whatever the hell you want, buddy.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I don't know that I will have the next update on Jameson Taillon in the next couple
of
hours.
That's why I squeezed it in.
Yeah, I'm glad you got that in there.
There's that Sammy Sosa laugh.
That's so incredible. Sammy making his way back. He's like going to all the best possible scenarios.
Last time I saw Mark Grody, he was at Mitch Rosen's house watching a wide array of young Irish dancers getting ready for bagpipes. And soon after I left yesterday, he would be breaking down the Justin Fields trade live in the room with the likes of David Haw and Dan Bernstein and Chris Tannehill.
It was unbelievable that happened, that a decent amount of the Score staff on air and off air was assembled together. Doesn't matter where we were, but we did happen to be at Mitch Rosen's house.
Incredible.
The boss, where Ryan Porth was there. We're all sort of in the same vicinity, and the news breaks, and we're all just heads down, ears on the phones, walking, you know, pacing, trying to figure out what's next. And then you hit, yes.
And then the bagpipers started.
And then they played that one song. This is the song they played. That's it. This is the song. Yep. That's the one. That's the one they played.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Is that what that was?
No.
AC/DC?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know.
It might as well have been.
It could have been.
Yeah, I heard that caller or texter suggest that.
Yes.
I'm like, yes. That was a Cubs song, too. They always played that song. I think it was Eric Hinsky who always demanded that song be played at Wrigley.
They're shipping up to Boston. I don't know if there's actual bagpipes in that or just fake organ bagpipes.
But that's
Seriously, song.
This is what we are in the midst of yesterday. Because I'm sure everybody... Look, it's a holiday weekend. Everybody's got plans. It's nice out. So everybody that heard about this Bears thing was probably in an inopportune place to really discuss it. You know,
You were in a great place.
We were in a great place
A six? All they got was a six?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
Well, first it was the trade goes down. It took a while to attain the information on what the Bears got. It was just initially was that. So then, yeah. That's all. Okay, he's been traded. We're all pacing, trying to figure out what the deal was. Conditional sixth rounder. So we're all kind of shaking our head like that's really not much. But it was amazing. And then to see the bosses directing traffic. You're lucky you got out of there, man. Yeah. Yeah. Russ Matera, our production guy, he got out of there. Yeah. But I hear Ryan Porth saying sort of to himself, and maybe so I could hear, like, talking about, well, we do have an opening tomorrow from 12 to 2:55. And I'm like, I'm going to go walk over here by the corned beef for a little while. But the truth of the matter is,
yes,
I wanted to be asked today because I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, man.
I really wanted to discuss it and share with people what I'm feeling like from an emotional standpoint, because 75% of this and the talk that we've been having about Justin Fields has been emotion filled.
Yes.
Whether you were mostly for the four Justin Fields people, a lot of which I get because of what he represented when the Bears drafted this man in the 11th round a few years ago. There has never been more hope for a quarterback in my lifetime.
Yeah.
In my lifetime. And I go back to, like, my sports consciousness for the Bears is Jim McMahon, basically. If you want, or even, well, I can go Vince Evans on you and Mike Phipps and a bunch of other guys like that. But understanding it goes back to Jim McMahon. When Jay Cutler was brought in here, it was massive.
Yes.
I mean, it really was. It was a huge, huge deal. And that is something that still needs perspective. The Jay Cutler era, the Mitch Trubisky draft was massive as well.
Yeah.
Not just because they moved up to number two. This guy was one of the hot quarterbacks that was supposed to come in. Massive disappointment. But I have never felt the excitement, the hope, the praise, the popularity of a quarterback in Justin Fields more so than anybody else in my quarterback Bears watching history.
I can't wait to listen to you from noon to 2:55. So I brought my boy yesterday, and this was a Christine idea that I've taken to heart. When we're going into social situations and we're driving over there, I'm like, all right, think of three questions that you're going to ask strangers if you're standing next to strangers. And here's a, let's have a signal. If I shoot you this look, start asking your questions to the stranger you're next to.
Incredible.
So his three questions. One of them was, how long have you known Mitch Rosen? Which is a great idea. So, you know, he came up with these.
Love.
One was, do you know the distance between the Earth and the Moon? Because he loves science.
Okay.
So it's 238,000 miles.
Is that something that, by the way, is that something that we're supposed to know?
No.
Okay.
But he just thought it would spark conversation.
Okay. I was afraid
he's not wrong.
Guess and say I didn't know.
He used all of these on David Haw. All of them.
and he saw the nicest target.
And the third one he asked was, what's your favorite 80s movie?
He
asked everybody, what's your favorite 80s movie? So David Haw said, All the Right Moves. Because everything I needed to learn, I learned about life, I learned in high school football.
Marvelous.
All the Right Moves.
Marvelous.
Great. It's such a haw answer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had said Weird Science.
That's right up there.
So we were going to watch Weird Science together, but I decided it's a little too risque.
Bit too Kelly LeBrock-ish?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. A little too boobalicious,
yes,
I think,
yes.
For his 12-year-old boy.
Give me the keys, Lisa.
Yeah, like, on the telephone?
What's this man talking about on the telephone?
Crazy, insane.
So, but someday, but then we Chris Tannehill's wife Odie said, Stand By Me.
Great.
And we watched Stand By Me last night.
Excellent.
It was so cool to watch with him.
I'm glad you did that, but what you should have watched was Revenge of the Nerds, because
it's dated very poorly.
Has it?
Oh, it's aged very poorly.
Is it cringe?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
There's it's very,
all right.
It's very date rapey.
Oh, wow. I can't even defend that with a joke.
No.
Okay.
No, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. How about
even this one, he was watching like, oh, you can't say that anymore. He's like, that's a slur. Like, he's calling him out. They're like, God. I don't, it was a different time.
Man, these kids.
Yeah.
16 Candles.
Yes. I need to watch 16 Candles and Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get there, but kid likes 80s movies. So
awesome.
I'm in good shape.
Except for he doesn't like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, I learned yesterday.
No, no. He thought, you know, because I oversold it, Groats.
Oh, yeah.
I said, this is so funny. This is so great. You're going to love it. But he did like, those aren't two pillows. And he like, do you honestly think this car is fit to drive? Yes, I do, sir. Yes, I do.
John Candy.
You know, the darndest thing, radio still works.
His friendly earnestness was like seductive.
Yeah.
Like you just wanted to say yes to John Candy,
yes.
The character that he played in every movie.
Uh-huh.
I loved it.
Yeah, exactly.
Affable uncle.
But
oh my God, that's me.
Stand By Me, please. Exactly. There you go. Stand By Me plays very well for the 12-year-old set. All right. Thank you to our guests today. Mark Grody was on the show in the first hour.
How's it going?
And
unlock me. Unlock
this man.
I got to watch that one with him. I'll love that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll love that.
Yes. Well, he's.
Is it appropriate?
I don't know if he'll see the humor in it.
Oh, it's not funny.
The one arm.
Yeah. It's not funny, but it's scary and it's awesome.
It's funny to me at this point. The movie, it's a comedy to me. I'm telling you.
I don't care.
You falsified your research.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes. So we'll get there. Thank you to Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring. I love that guy. Thank you to Sean Sears for a job extremely well done. I'll be back next Sunday. And every Sunday on Hit and Run, the only Sundays it won't do are like if I get the chance to do pre and post for the Cubs. I got to say yes to that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, the big time.
I mean,
the big time speaks.
Well, you know, here's John is coming out of the bathroom. Let's find out what he has to say. Let's go down to the field, Mike. Mark Grody is there to greet John as he leaves the bathroom.
Actual conversation with Pat Hughes yesterday. Yes, in the midst of all of that stuff,
yeah.
Pat Hughes was in the house.
I'm now playing Words with Friends.
With Pat?
With Pat.
Oh, okay.
He's destroying
Pat
me.
And I are just making bathroom jokes. So, we all have different relationships with people.
It evolves. Life continues to evolve. Comes at you fast. Be listening to Mark Grody next right here on 670 The Score. I'll be back for the Danny Parkins victory lap tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Oh, no.
And by the way, later on this week, take in day one of March Hoops with Circa Sports Illinois and 670 The Score. This Thursday from 2 to 6 at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village, Parkins and Spiegel will be live that afternoon from 2 to 6 at Real Time Sports. Go to circasports.com for more info. Mark Rohde's next. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Oh, man, I think just the togetherness, being connected, you see it around the clubhouse. You can see it. No, I don't want that. Get out of here, man. Just the togetherness.
They be playing
together.
All the time.
Juan Cabreja jumping
in. Yeah, man,
in.
It's all the time. This is all. This
What's
is with
on,
me
Juan?
All the time.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
The one thing Josh Allen could do from the very get-go, and his decisions weren't very good, but he put the ball wherever he wanted in the pocket, and he got it out pretty quick. He just was a bad decision guy, and over time, he's in this last game that he had, too, he kind of went backwards a little bit in that respect. But I think that's what I was getting at. Josh Allen in the pocket is good from the get-go. I mean, he could put the ball where he wanted. He just... where you put it sometimes wasn't very smart. You know, that was his knock. But what I saw from the difference is, you know, with Fields is in the pocket, there's a panic to him, you know, because things are just going so fast. And, you know, the team around him on offense, you know, is probably, you know, this is not saying anything that you guys don't already realize, probably mediocre. You know, as they get better around him, it's going to really affect him as well. And it's pretty exciting because that's the centerpiece, and if he can continue to grow and not get injured, right, then they've got something to build on.
That's Mike Martz in either his second or third appearance with Parkins and Spiegel, and he's kind of soft-pedaling because by then Fields had looked really exciting and had shown a bunch of flashes that were exciting. But you heard him there in the middle when he kind of alludes to it, what he saw with Fields, like, in the pocket. There's some panic to him, and it's too bad, but there is, and there was. And maybe with a really good team, maybe with a really good supporting cast, he will find his way to being a real good pocket passer. But it didn't happen here, and time has run out. It is Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel here with you. We're doing a bunch of bump and run all mixed in together because the Justin Fields news is massive, taking your phone calls. I do want to get to Michael Kopech in the bullpen before we get out of this segment. And Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring will join us around 11:20. 11:45, Mark Grohde will be here for a live transition. We will do a live transition right here. And then Groats has you from noon until 2:55 when the Cubs play right here on 670 The Score. This is Bernie, who is ready for hit and bump and hit and bump and run. Hello, Bernie. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
Good morning. So I was just looking at some statistics around consensus number one picks. And if you look at the last 40 years, Trevor Lawrence Andrew Luck, both Manning and John Elway are over the last 40 years, and Jameis Winston, you could argue, is not quite that guy. But those are your consensus number ones, and I would argue that they would be the best quarterback ever in the history of the Bears if we had a number of those guys.
Did you mention Joe Burrow? Did you mention Joe Burrow? We could add him.
Well, here's the thing. So if you look at number one picks, just number one pick, the number one pick has thrown 70% of number one picks have thrown for 4,000 yards, 45% 30-plus over the last 30 years, 81% had 80-plus starts, 65% have a playoff win, and 70% made the Pro Bowl. Now, arbitrary, arguably, but Justin Fields doesn't check any of those boxes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, no, and Fields is a 9 or 11 overall, but so let me go ahead and remove that because, frankly, the Justin versus Caleb thing was overblown according to what the Bears' decision process actually was. A lot of people writing that today, and proof is kind of in the pudding on some of that, as Ryan Poles admits that they've been in trade talks for a couple of weeks here. But just your stuff on the number one overall picks as quarterbacks is compelling, isn't it? A lot of success there, that's for sure. And I can't overstate this enough. Expectations for the Bears and Caleb Williams should be very, very high because of the good fortune that he has to be dropped into a team with a solid offensive line, DeAndre Swift as a lead running back, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett as your top four targets and a really good defense. Expectations should be high. 10 wins. I'll tell you right now, this team should have 10 wins. If they're not a playoff team by the hair of their chinny chin chin, but they still have 10 wins and everything's moving forward, I think most people will still feel great. But expectations should be high. You saw what the Texans just did. That's what's going to be expected. And if it is Caleb, it's going to be really interesting because we'll have time to talk about what he should do and how he should play as a rookie because he does not need to be a hero as a rookie. That's for sure. Anthony's in Chicago on 670 The Score. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, Speaks. How are you?
I'm great, man.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
You too. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of our Jewish friends out there.
Absolutely. So listen, in thinking about the Justin Fields trade, I'm left thinking about the Chase Claypool trade as well. Now, I understand the Bears needing to move on from him. It's just kind of sad to think that the Bears settled for so little and the league thinks so little of Justin that's all the compensation that we got.
Yeah, that sucks, right? Doesn't that suck for as fond as we became of Justin Fields to have the league and the compensation be what it is? It feels gross, man. It feels gross and sad on a human level, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wish him all the best. I thank you guys for taking my call. It's going to be tough going forward, but at the end of the day, it is a business, and we got to accept some hard decisions.
Yeah, Anthony. And you know what? When you start to get a look at this team and you see Caleb, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. If he has what it appears that he has, which is, man, a presence of mind, an incredible arm, outrageously good arm talent, a quick release, the fact that he looks downfield to pass as he scrambles every single time. He'll use his legs, but he's always looking to use his legs to create. And he can make quick, accurate throws on the run from any body position or platform the way that you've seen Aaron Rodgers do it. That's his guy. That's his model. That's who he models his game after. The way that you've seen Pat Mahomes obviously do it. The way that you have seen Justin struggle to do it. And if you're honest in your heart of hearts, when you see Justin scramble, it takes an extra little bit of time before he gears up and throws
And sometimes it's too late. And sometimes he just chooses to run. Caleb appears to be a guy who makes the throw quickly and decisively.
Who do you model your game after?
Aaron Rodgers, I would say, is number one.
So Aaron Rodgers, who he models the game after, and he breaks down all sorts of mechanics. Dude is smart about quarterbacking. I'm excited to watch him. Ron is on the south side. It wouldn't be hit and run. Wouldn't be a Sunday morning unless I talked to Ron. Hello, sir.
And likewise, the feeling is mutual, Speak. So a couple of things. You know, trying to find something to be optimistic about with this White Sox team, particularly to Colson Montgomery. But you mentioned pitchers. I just want to mention three. And speaking of the trade, the real trade.
Yes.
I thought it was I think the Sox did, you know, pretty good with the trade. I'm looking forward to seeing Thorpe in the rotation. But mainly who I'm looking to see that I've been kind of finding, I know it's only spring training, is Garrett Crochet. And again, looking at these players, Speed, because basically we got to look towards the future with the White Sox. But another person is Jordan Leisure, maybe back of the bullpen type of guy, but I'm looking forward to seeing him. And there's one last thing, Speed, I want to ask you. Anything on Byron Ramos, the third base? Have you heard anything relative to just the his prospects and how's he looking? Again, I'm just trying to look forward to the future, but the most important thing then is hit and run is back, and baseball will be back real soon. Always a pleasure, Speed.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate you. Baseball is life. Brian Ramos is a big time prospect, and I suspect is going to get some run at some point this year. I'm looking forward to seeing Ramos for sure. I love that Ron is looking for silver linings of happiness on a White Sox team that he will pay attention to, because that's the reality here as an entertainment product. You know, you got to find your guys. Garrett Crochet has a big time front of the rotation arm and arsenal. Whether he stays healthy or not, I have no idea. He has struggled to stay healthy as a starter. He hasn't really started. I think it's like 5 years since he really started much of consequence. I've got some of these numbers and facts and figures and elsewhere. But yeah, it's been a while for Garrett Crochet. But that is a serious, serious arm if he can stay healthy as a starter. I think the guy that you're sleeping on is Eric Fetty, who's a really good story. And Eric Fetty, we'll have chances to talk about him as opening day approaches and we get in the midst. But think Miles Michaelis for the Cardinals, who could not make it in MLB, went to a foreign land and a foreign league. I think it was the Korean League as well, wasn't it? And Michaelis redid his arsenal, figured some stuff out. Fetty has completely redone his arsenal. And I would buy on Eric Fetty right now with the help of Brian Bannister, who he has worked with an awful lot. Bannister, part of the White Sox pitching brain trust. In fact, Eric Fetty worked at the same offseason place with Bannister as Logan Webb of the San Francisco Giants and learned some of the pitches and styles of Logan Webb, right? That's a pretty good one to try to be comping yourself to in terms of development. Drew Thorpe is the most important piece of that trade for Dylan Cease to me. Former Yankees farmhand who they sent to San Diego in the Juan Soto trade, and now Thorpe comes back to the White Sox. You'll see Drew Thorpe in the majors this year. People freak out because his fastball only hits 94, 93 maybe, but his changeup is double plus. Like when you watch Jordan Wicks and you're like, how is that guy so good? Because the changeup freaks people out. Drew Thorpe's changeup is, I saw Aaron Layton write about it as a get-out-of-jail-free card. Like crazy. 32% swing and miss rate on Drew Thorpe's changeup. Just outrageous. So, you know, that guy you're going to see a lot of. And then there's, and the move of Kopech to the bullpen is long overdue. Michael Kopech, listen to him talking about moving to the bullpen. This is Kopech, and you can tell he's upset. Because, of course, he's wanted to be a starter his whole life. Big-time prospect from Boston, et cetera. But he accepts the role.
You're going to go to the bullpen. How did you respond to that and feel about it?
You know, it's not my
You know, first choice where I want to be. I like starting, but you know, I've had success in that role. You know, ultimately, we're looking at what's best for the team this year. And if I can help us win games in the back half of the game, I'm excited to do that.
How much of a disappointment is it for you? Because you wanted to obviously start.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I think that I've had success there, but it's been a little too inconsistent. And you know, I wanted the opportunity to find some consistency there. That being said, you know, there's a window, and I didn't really achieve it in that window. So now I have an opportunity to find success and help the team in another way.
It's Michael Kopech, who couldn't cut it as a starter, just not consistent enough, not I don't know, psychologically comfortable enough. As a starter, the arm is not the issue. The stuff is not the issue. There have been so many times you were like, oh my God, look at that. He figured it out. And then it slides back. Put the man in the bullpen. Just let him fire away. Fire away with all you got. And I think he's got absolute closer potential. I'll be surprised if he's not the closer on this team, frankly. Spring training action for the Cubs continues today against the Rangers. Coverage begins at 2:55 right here on 670 The Score with Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer on the call. For the latest news on the Cubs or Sox, try listening to chapters from our show through the Odyssey app. Just search for 670 The Score, tap on a recent episode of our show, and you can get started. By the way, tune in tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. for BetQL's Countdown to Tip-Off as Nick Costos and Ken Barkley break down the brackets immediately after they're released. Who will be their best bets to cut down the nets? It's Countdown to Tip-Off from BetQL tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Mark Grody in about 30 minutes. But before that, my guy Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring with all sorts of stuff to talk about. And you'll hear a good, clean Kopech inning to start. It's Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run and Bump and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
He's looking at a 3-2 count. Let's see what Kopech has here for his first batter. Fastball driven out to center field. Reese Robert Jr. tracks it down for the first out.
Michael has the stuff to do that. The question is, does he have the command to do that?
Broken bat, backhanded at short. DeJong makes the play.
That if you go out and lose today, you come right back tomorrow and say, you're not going to get me this afternoon.
Robert Jr. makes the catch in center. A 1-2-3 inning for Michael Kopech in his first appearance since being a reliever.
That highlight courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. John Schriff and Steve Stone on the call. Michael Kopech goes 1-2-3 in his first inning as reliever. One day, a long time ago, many, many moons ago, Michael Kopech was a hot young Red Sox prospect. Highly thought of, but a little bit volatile, kind of crazy in the minor leagues, had long hair, had a social media presence with a girlfriend that was interesting. And then there he was, the centerpiece to the Chris Sale trade, and it's been our problem ever since. Rob Bradford from WEEI and from Baseball Isn't Boring remembers that well, among many things. He joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Bradfo, good morning. Thank you for joining me. How are you, sir?
Oh, my goodness. Is there a better way to start the day than to talk to you, Matt, and be on your show? I appreciate it. It's also a great launching pad into the season. We thought these big breakout games, we thought this was going to be the launching pad. No. It's getting a chance to talk to you about the great game of baseball.
Oh, thanks. God, love you for that one, Bradford. You know what got me on your feed? It was like, I guess maybe it was 2 weeks ago or something. You were on your way into camp somewhere, and you had to pause because the two guys in front of you started talking pitching. So, you know, let me roll on this, and I'll put it into a podcast on the go. Rich Hill and Pedro Martinez. And I'm like, are you effing kidding me? I wonder, look at Bradford out there killing it. Pedro is, I mean, they're both, those are what, two of the smartest five people you've ever talked to about pitching in your life?
Yeah, and the thing is, and then next thing you know, we ended the, that was about a 10-minute conversation on video, and then they broke off, and Rich is, I have a picture of Rich. How do you grip this now? How do you do this, and how do you do this? And let's be honest. I mean, Rich Hill is a smart guy, and for our baseball standards, he's old. But Pedro Martinez is the guy. If you can, if I could pick any human being who I wanted to talk to pitching about right now that's living, it's Pedro Martinez.
Yeah, I mean that I agree, man. When he talks, I'm just like, okay, what can I learn? Because we all remember what we saw, which was a guy with incredible stuff, but was able to get people out whenever he needed to. What was the game in Cleveland where he threw like five and two thirds of perfect relief after they didn't think he was going to be able to go? Like the fastball was 8 miles an hour slower, so he just slowed down the changeup to go along with it, if memory serves.
Oh, it was a great memory by you, and it was just an epic performance because he's using like an 85 mile an hour fastball with a bad lat or something, and he's just, all he's doing is breaking off curveballs and changeups and bobbing his weaving his way through it, and I think the guy who started that was Brett Saberhagen. That's how long ago, but yeah, that's and he's still around, and he's still around camp, and it's great having him talk to guys. Even when he says, hey, Ruby De La Russa is going to be the next Roger Clemens, we just take that with a grain of salt. And there is, and I don't know if you've come across this with pitchers, like really, really good pitchers, there is that problem of, hey, you know what, if you do it this way, it'll work. Well, Pedro had a different talent. He had a different hand size. He had a different everything.
Yeah.
So maybe not exactly, but still, listening to his passion, and the most important thing, he's a genuine, genuine human being, which is always what I'm going to lean to.
Yeah, it's just absolutely awesome. Rob Bradford is here with us with Baseball Isn't Boring. Tell me some other moments. I want to ask you about Rich Hill on the internal brace and Lucas Giolito, but like, tell me some other moments of what you've had so far this spring as you've been bouncing around talking to people. Well, actually, while you're thinking of that, I'll give you one. It was Joe Kelly. You were sitting at dinner at Joe Kelly's dinner table. And he was talking about Yamamoto on the golf course. Do I have that right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, because I was racking my brain for some of the ones they did. I mean, I did Xander Bogaerts was really good when I went out to Arizona this week. It's just great talking to different people that I didn't have a chance to talk to. I talked to Derek Falvey, the Minnesota Twins president. He's dropping tomorrow.
Mm.
But that was honestly what you mentioned. That was the one that first came to mind. Here's the reason why. Because, you know, we're at Joe Kelly's house, but it's not only Joe. It's Blake Treinen, who is a very introspective, thoughtful guy. And also, pitching ninja Rob Freeman came over the house. You know, and then you had the guys from Codify. And so you had all these people talking about, you know, doing models for Yamamoto on the left side of the rubber or the right side of the rubber. Joe's asking, like, how exactly does it work when you put Vaseline on a ball? And, you know, things like that. So, again, I'm not saying that he's going to do it.
No!
But we were saying that he's going to be staring at the ceiling looking at YouTube clips for the rest of the night trying to figure this out. And so it was just great. You know, it's just great sitting around and hearing these guys talk about this. And like you said, and the other interesting dynamic about that was that Joe had just, in that same table that we were sitting at, had just broken bread with Yamamoto and Ohtani. They had come over and they were talking about baseball, and then they went golfing. And so that was all part of the podcast. That was all part of the conversation. It's just, and you know, I appreciate you coming on. Every time you come on, it's awesome. I just like talking to different people, and there's so many people to talk to about so much stuff.
Oh man, that's the stuff, and it's never ending. Like I was just in Mesa for 4 days, man, and just like the conversations you have with everybody walking around, and everybody's just dying to talk baseball. It's part of the spring rejuvenation. You know, I there was a moment there at the table where Joe was talking about Yamamoto, how like his first drive, I think it was, he just absolutely chunked it, like hit it 12 yards off to the left, and he was totally like embarrassed. He's turning purple there, and Joe had to like calm him down. I mean, it's like you think of these $800 million guys or these $400 million guys as like, I don't know, anxiety proof, but that's not how it works.
Yeah, no, and everything about his description of that golf outing was what we can relate to. He said you could tell Yamamoto was super nervous. He's a 25-year-old guy with these new people. He's super nervous. He chunks it, you know, like 10 yards the first time out. Then he gets going, and then, you know, then he hits them on the screws. And then, like us all, he's going to wear down in the back nine. And as he said, start getting the tugs, you know, so all of a sudden he's yanking it. And then they're like, they started shouting him, hey, your nickname's OB, your nickname's OB. He didn't know what it was. And obviously that meant out of bounds. And then we're doing the podcast. And he says, and they're like, I don't think that he wanted anyone to know that his nickname's OB. Oh, too bad, too late. We've already said it. So
good.
There you go.
Good. OB. Well, that's sports, man. You got to find a way to rip somebody a little bit and have them yeah. laugh about it, right? Like I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen or heard about anybody doing that to Ohtani. I don't know. I just saw the thing the other day. Apparently, in Seoul, he was asked about his wife. And he started to talk about it, and he's never talked about it. So Freddie Freeman like grabbed the headphones, and was like, wait a minute, I want to hear the translation of this. I need to hear this, which is sounds amazing, right? And Ohtani like was a little bit embarrassed to be talking about it, but like even he is going to need to get the business from somebody. Maybe Mookie? Could Mookie give him the business?
Oh yeah, and yeah, we want to humanize these guys, right? I mean, this is one of the things where I guess this isn't really humanizing, but when Ohtani gave Joe's wife Ashley a Porsche, that was a nice story. And then Joe said, you know, that he's been wearing Ohtani's cleats, and it's not his cleats, like the brand of his cleats, it's his actual cleats because they have the same size. And Joe knows that maybe there's a New Balance deal to be had if he wears Ohtani's cleats around. So he's no dummy. So, but Ohtani leaves his cleats, leaves his gear at Joe's locker, and yeah. So it's that's all we want, right? We just want them to be humanized, and we'll get there with Ohtani, I think.
I hope so. All right, yeah. So Ohtani gave her the Porsche because of the number, right? He took the number from Joe. Essentially.
Yeah. Well, Joe, when it was trending that way, I mean, on the podcast, we said, Joe, okay, if you sign with the Dodgers, he signs with the Dodgers, what are you going to ask for? And he said, either a car or 1/8 of my contractor bill, because he's building a new house. And which I'm like, so next thing you know, it's boom, you know,
there's the car.
A Porsche is being delivered to his wife. So yeah, good for them.
Rob Bradford is with us. Rob, we came in with the highlight of Michael Kopech. I've been thinking about this a lot because of the Chris Bryant quotes that were in the piece that came out of Colorado. And it was heartbreaking. But my Bryant heart was already kind of broken because I saw him fall out of love with the game in his last couple of years here. It was rough, man. And I've talked to his dad. I like his dad, you know, Mike. But Chris Bryant is a guy who was pushed from a very young age. And like, this is your path. This is your path. This is your path. And I brought that up to somebody in Arizona and they made an old reference. They said, oh, it reminds me of Marvin Todd Marinovich, you know?
Oh, man.
I know, right? But then I start thinking about Kopech's dad. And these are not all the same levels of volatility and whatever as human beings, but Kopech's dad like built him a mound on the side and made him throw all the time. And like, and I remember that hung over. It seemed like it was hanging over Kopech's head a little bit early on. I guess I just want to ask your early impressions of Kopech, who you talked to as a prospect and you talked to on his way up through Boston. Now we're watching him get transitioned to the bullpen in what might be final days with the White Sox here.
Yeah, you know, so as you said, I know Michael for a while now, and I'll just flash forward. The guy that I've talked to in the last couple of years, it was a completely different guy than I remember. And not, he was never a bad guy, but you said it before where, you know, he was dating the reality star. He was, you know, he was constant. I remember in spring training when he was low level minor leaguers, they would do their workout, they would do the whole day, and then at 10 o'clock at night at LA Fitness, he'd be lifting, you know, again, you know, trying to get huge with, you know, his cheerleader girlfriend. And so, you know, wasn't advised. And then you have, you know, he got PD stuff, and you have the gotten in a fight with a roommate when the Red Sox minor leaguers broke his hand. You had all this stuff, but still, he was always a good guy who was obviously super talented. And also back then, even when he gets the White Sox, it was, how hard can I throw? I'm going to throw 110 miles an hour and look at, here's a video of me doing it. Like I said, the last couple of years talking to him, completely different guy. I think he had been humbled by a lot of it. And I think that last year, the times that I talked to him, and this wasn't any newsflash, he was just so beaten up. like physically, he was just so beaten up. And this is the thing that I kind of am rooting for, is that I think he's figured out a lot of things, not only in terms of pitching and how to pitch, but in life. But now he's dealing with a lot of physical issues. So to go back to your original question, yeah, I mean, anytime you come through what he came through and there was a lot of it and you come out the other side, you know, I'm going to root for the guy because that's not easy to do. But you know, clearly he's got a little bit of an uphill battle here coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, he does. I think the stuff might play. It reminds me of, you know, so many starters who were effective in the bullpen, even though they dreamed of being starters, like Jeff Samardzija toggled back and forth when he was here. You know, think about that. Or just being able to simplify it. Hell, Eckersley, eventually they said, Eck, just go over there and throw. Just throw as hard as you can. Throw like one or two pitches and just go after people. Like, it can work. And simplifying it might be a healthy thing for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know the elephant in the room whenever this happens is the contracts, right?
Yeah.
Is you have these situations where they know starters are usually going to make more money than relievers, although it's changing a little bit, but still, that's why most people really want to be starters. They also like the idea of starters. You're the focus every 5 days. I just came from the Red Sox clubhouse. We just dealt with this kid named Josh Winkowski, mm-hmm. kid who said that Wrigley Field was stock standard. Remember? That's why he's
yes.
now in Chicago.
Yes.
And yeah, so he was two-fifths of the Red Sox rotation was up for grabs, and he's just been named. He's going to the bullpen, and he said, you don't get these opportunities a whole lot where two-fifths of the rotation's up for grabs. So he's upset about that, but he still says, but I'm still a starter. I'm still a starter. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what most of these guys do until they understand that, hey, you know what? It's okay to be relieved. I'll give you another quick example. The guy that we just talked about, Joe Kelly. I mean, think about that. I mean, Joe was a starter,
yeah.
a starter, and then all of a sudden, I think I'm pretty sure that he found his little lot in life right now.
Yeah, I think he has made that work. Last thing for you, Rob, or it's maybe second to last thing. I'll be greedy with my Rob Bradford. how's Chris Sale going to be in Atlanta? You think? Like, did they? Is this a coup that the Braves end up with Sale? Some people think so.
Yeah. Well. First of all, it's not trending well on the other side of it because Vaughn Grissom isn't going to play till mid to late April because of his groin issue. He hasn't played, obviously, at all in spring training, so that's not a good start.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went up and talked to Sale, one of the things he said that stuck with me was, this is the first time since 2017 that he ended a season healthy, that he's had a full offseason healthy, and he's began a spring training healthy since 2017,
wow.
which is crazy to think about. And from what we've seen so far, yeah, there you go. I mean, that's a lot of optimism. But unfortunately, he's lost the benefit of the doubt. But if you're asking me my gut feeling about this, I think he's going to have a good year for the Braves.
And last one then. It's my favorite player in the game for a long time. I can't wait to watch Mookie Betts at shortstop every day. I don't know how long I don't know how long they're going to do it, but if anybody can do it, it's that guy, isn't it?
Isn't it, you know, I don't know if you know this, Matt, but it probably wasn't a good move letting Mookie Betts play in another team if you're the Red Sox.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
This guy is just such an unbelievable, like, talent. And you know, his arm, his athletic ability, you know, you see different him running routes and he plays shortstop is without a care in the world. I mean, is he going to be an elite shortstop? Probably not, but he can play shortstop while you figure it out.
Yeah.
And then the other part about Mookie that I personally like is that he's also figuring out who he is when it comes to his sort of existence on a team as a star, all of that stuff. Because when he first went to the Dodgers, that was a tough one where he stood in the middle of the room and tried to give a speech and he was really, really wasn't a leader or anything. Well, he figured out what he is. He's a good podcaster and a good shortstop. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm trying to. It must be tough being Dave Roberts. I think I'll go Mookie 1 and then Freeman. Nah, I'll go Otani 2 and then whatever.
It's another world. It's another world, my friend.
It is, right? Across the field from the White Sox. That's not fair, man. It's just not fair.
I honestly did that. You know, I did the, you know, that's one of the things I love about Arizona is you just go from one club to the other.
Yeah,
but there is no better drastic juxtaposition than at Camelback Ranch. I can tell you that.
Oh, my God. Rob, you're the best, man. Keep killing it all spring, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks so much, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. That's Rob Bradford from WEI, and baseball is boring. Baseball is not boring. Dude is plugged in. How about those moments, man? Hanging in a field with Rich Hill and Pedro while they talk pitching, sitting at the table with Pitching Ninja and Joe Kelly and Blake Trinan talking about Yamamoto on the golf course. It's what you dream of.
I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, exactly. How did we get here? Folks, Caleb Williams is almost assuredly a Bear. Justin Fields is gone. Mark Grody is here. We will transition with Mark Grody, and he's got you for the next 3 hours right here on 670 The Score.
You switch the samples.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
How are you feeling?
Pretty good. We've made a lot of progress. It was kind of scary. I had a stiff back, like waking up that morning, and I just went through my normal pregame routine. Long toss, was feeling great in the bullpen, and then just on one pitch, felt something kind of tweak in there. And to anyone that's had low back stuff, it really sucked for about 2 or 3 days. And now we're back to long tossing and hopefully get off the mound here in the next couple of days and stuff. So I think we avoided anything like super serious, but obviously just crappy that it happened at that time. And, you know, as a starter, you got to build up in spring training and stuff. So that put a little pause on that. But definitely feeling a lot better now.
That's Jameson Taillon of the Cubs feeling a lot better. That's good to hear. Jameson Taillon probably won't start the season in the rotation, but maybe not far behind. This is Matt Spiegel with you on Hit and Run and Bump and Run. It's been all things all morning and has been great, great fun. Thanks to all the callers and all the texters. I'd like to apologize to the hardcore baseball fans who had too much football, and I'd like to apologize to the hardcore football fans who had too much baseball. Good luck, everybody. Mark Grody will have no such dilemma. You can do whatever the hell you want, buddy.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I don't know that I will have the next update on Jameson Taillon in the next couple
that's
of hours.
That's why I squeezed it in.
Yeah, I'm glad you got that in there.
There's that Sammy Sosa laugh.
That's so incredible. Sammy making his way back. He's like going to all the best possible scenarios.
Last time I saw Mark Grody, he was at Mitch Rosen's house watching a wide array of young Irish dancers getting ready for bagpipes. And soon after I left yesterday, he would be breaking down the Justin Fields trade live in the room with the likes of David Haw and Dan Bernstein and Chris Tannehill.
It was unbelievable that happened, that a decent amount of the Score staff on air and off air was assembled together. Doesn't matter where we were, but we did happen to be at Mitch Rosen's house.
Incredible.
The boss, where Ryan Porth was there. We're all sort of in the same vicinity, and the news breaks, and we're all just heads down, ears on the phones, walking, you know, pacing, trying to figure out what's next. And then you hit, yes.
And then the bagpipers started.
And then they played that one song. This is the song they played. That's it. This is the song. Yep. That's the one. That's the one they played.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Oh, is that what that was?
No.
AC/DC?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know.
It might as well have been.
It could have been.
Yeah, I heard that caller or texter suggest that.
Yes.
I'm like, yes.
Yes.
That was a Cubs song, too. They always played that song. I think it was Eric Hinsky who always demanded that song be played at Wrigley.
They're shipping up to Boston. I don't know if there's actual bagpipes in that or just fake organ bagpipes.
But that's
Doesn't matter. That song.
This is what we are in the midst of yesterday, because I'm sure everybody, look, it was yesterday's, it's a holiday weekend. Everybody's got plans. It's nice out. So everybody that heard about this Bears thing was probably in an inopportune place to really discuss it. You know, and we.
You were in a great place.
We were in a great place
six? All they got was a six?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
Well, first it was the trade goes down. It took a while to attain the information on what the Bears got. It was just initially was that. So then, yeah. That's all. Okay, he's been traded. We're all pacing, trying to figure out what the deal was. Sixth round, conditional sixth rounder. So we're all kind of shaking our head like that's really not much. But it was amazing. And then to see the bosses directing traffic. You're lucky you got out of there, man. Yeah. Yeah. Russ Matera, our production guy, he got out of there. Yeah. But I hear Ryan Porth saying sort of to himself, and maybe so I could hear, like, talking about, well, we do have an opening tomorrow from 12 to 2:55. And I'm like, oh, God,
boy,
I'm going to go walk over over here by the corned beef for a little while. And then, but the truth of the matter is,
yes,
I wanted to be asked today because I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah,
I
man.
I really wanted to discuss it and share with people what I'm feeling like from an emotional standpoint, because 75% of this and the talk that we've been having about Justin Fields has been emotion filled.
Yes.
Whether you were mostly for the four Justin Fields people, a lot of which I get because of what he represented when the Bears drafted this man in the 11th round a few years ago. There has never been more hope for a quarterback in my lifetime.
Yeah.
In my lifetime. And I go back to, like, my sports consciousness for the Bears is Jim McMahon, basically, if you want. Or even, well, I can go Vince Evans on you and Mike Phipps and a bunch of other guys like that. But understanding it goes back to Jim McMahon. When Jay Cutler was brought in here, it was massive. I mean, it really was. It was a huge, huge deal, and that is something that still needs perspective. The Jay Cutler era, the Mitch Trubisky draft was massive as well.
Yeah.
Not just because they moved up to number two. This guy was one of the hot quarterbacks that was supposed to come in. Massive disappointment. But I have never felt the excitement, the hope, the praise, the popularity of a quarterback in Justin Fields more so than anybody else in my quarterback Bears watching history.
I can't wait to listen to you from noon to 2:55. So I brought my boy yesterday, and this was a Christine idea that I've taken to heart when we're going into social situations and we're driving over there. I'm like, all right, think of three questions that you're going to ask strangers if you're standing next to strangers. And here's let's have a signal. If I shoot you this look, start asking your questions to the stranger you're next to.
Incredible.
So his three questions. One of them was, how long have you known Mitch Rosen? Which is a great idea. So, you know, he came up with these.
Love.
One was, do you know the distance between the Earth and the Moon? Because he loves science.
Okay.
So it's 238,000 miles.
Is that something that, by the way, is that something that we're supposed to know?
No.
Okay.
But he just thought it would spark conversation.
Okay. I was afraid
he's not wrong.
Guess and say I didn't know.
He used all of these on David Haw. All of them.
and then he saw the nicest target.
And the third one he asked was, what's your favorite 80s movie? He asked everybody, what's your favorite 80s movie? So David Haw said, All the Right Moves. Because everything I needed to learn, I learned about life, I learned in high school football.
Marvelous.
All the Right Moves.
Marvelous.
Great. It's such a haw answer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had said Weird Science.
That's right up there.
So we were going to watch Weird Science together, but I decided it's a little too risque.
A little bit too Kelly LeBrock-ish?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. A little too boobalicious,
yes,
I think,
yes.
For his 12-year-old boy.
Give me the keys, Lisa.
Yeah, like, on the telephone?
What's this man talking about on the telephone?
Crazy, insane.
Okay. So, but someday, but then Chris Tannehill's wife, Odie, said, Stand By Me.
Great.
And we watched Stand By Me last night.
Excellent.
It was so cool to watch with him.
I'm glad you did that, but what you should have watched was Revenge of the Nerds, because
it's dated very poorly.
Has it?
Oh, it's aged very poorly.
Is it cringe?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
There's it's very,
all right.
It's very date rapey.
Oh, wow. I can't even defend that with a joke.
No.
Okay.
No, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Okay. How
but
about
even this one, he was watching like, oh, you can't say that anymore. He's like, that's a slur. Like, he's calling him out. They're like, God. I don't, it was a different time.
Man, these kids.
Yeah.
16 Candles.
Yes. I need to watch 16 Candles and Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get there, but kid likes 80s movies. So
awesome.
I'm in good shape.
Except for he doesn't like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, I learned
yesterday. No, no. He thought, you know, because I oversold it, Groats.
Oh, yeah.
I said, this is so funny. This is so great. You're going to love it. But he did like, those aren't two pillows. And he like, do you honestly think this car is fit to drive? Yes, I do, sir. Yes, I do.
John Candy.
You know, the darndest thing, the radio still works.
His friendly earnestness was like seductive.
Yeah.
Like you just wanted to say yes to John Candy.
Yes.
The character that he played in every movie.
Uh-huh.
I loved it.
Yeah, exactly.
Affable uncle.
But
oh my God, that's me.
Stand By Me, please. Exactly. There you go. Stand By Me plays very well for the 12-year-old set. All right. Thank you to our guests today. Mark Grody was on the show in the first hour.
How's it going?
And
Unlock me!
This man.
I got to watch that one with him. He'll love that.
Oh, yeah.
He'll love that.
Yes. Well,
is it appropriate?
I don't know if he'll see the humor in it.
Oh, it's not funny.
Got it to one arm.
Yeah. It's not funny, but it's scary and it's awesome.
It's funny to me at this point. The movie, it's a comedy to me. I'm telling you.
I don't care.
You falsified your research.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes. So we'll get there. Thank you to Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring. I love that guy. Thank you to Sean Sears for a job extremely well done. I'll be back next Sunday and every Sunday on Hit and Run. The only Sundays I won't do are like if I get the chance to do pre and post for the Cubs. I got to say yes to that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, the big time. I mean, the big time speaks.
Well, you know, here's John is coming out of the bathroom. Let's find out what he has to say. Let's go down to the field, Mike. Mark Grody is there to greet John as he leaves the bathroom.
Actual conversation with Pat Hughes yesterday. Yes, in the midst of all of that stuff,
yeah.
Pat Hughes was in the house.
I'm now playing Words with Friends. With Pat.
Oh, okay.
He's destroying
Pat
me.
And I are just making bathroom jokes. So, well, yeah, we all have different relationships with people.
It evolves. Life continues to evolve. Comes at you fast. Be listening to Mark Grody next right here on 670 The Score. I'll be back for the Danny Parkins victory lap tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Oh, no.
And by the way, later on this week, take in day one of March Hoops with Circa Sports Illinois and 670 The Score. This Thursday from 2 to 6 at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village, Parkins and Spiegel will be live that afternoon from 2 to 6 at Real Time Sports. Go to circasports.com for more info. Mark Grody's next. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Oh, man, I think just the togetherness, being connected, you see it around the clubhouse. You can see it. No, I don't want that. Get out of here, man. Just the togetherness.
They be playing all the time.
Juan Cabreja jumping
in. Yeah, man, it's all the time. This is all, this is with me on, all the time.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.